Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Good day and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Father Matt Malone, Editor-in-Chief of America Magazine.
And I'm Carrie Weber, Executive Editor. And each week we offer you the news and analysis from the intersection of the church and the world, gathered by our team at America Magazine.
And one of those team is joining us here in the studio, Father Eric Sundrup, who is an Associate Editor of America Magazine. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
Nice to have you here, both of you, on this day before Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. We have much to be grateful for.
Indeed.
We are speaking today with Henry Timms. He's the executive director of the 92nd Street Y. And in that post, he creates innovative programs and movements that foster learning, civic responsibility, culture, innovation in this great city of New York, but also around the world. And he's also the founder of Giving Tuesday. So if you have ever seen on Twitter, hashtag Giving Tuesday, it engages, you know, more than 27,000 partners in a global day of giving. And it's a really fabulous and creative idea that follows a lot of days that are sort of more oriented toward taking or fighting over large screen TVs or things like that. So this is intentionally meant as, well, I assume we can ask him, to immediately follow days like Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Then we move on to Tuesday and we think about other people, hopefully.
Yeah.
So Henry Timms, welcome to the show.
It's very nice to join you.
So I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about the origins and see if you can confirm my theory that it is intentionally meant to describe these days oriented more toward consumerism.
I think we thought of it originally as an addition.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know Black Friday and Cyber Monday, which are all about getting deals and people lining up. You know, you kind of think of the image of everybody lining up in a competition to be the first to get a flat screen TV. But there's another story that we should tell, especially that time of year, which is around giving, around philanthropy. So we started Giving Tuesday after Black Friday and Cyber Monday to kind of reverse the direction, to go from a big national conversation about consumption to a big national conversation about compassion.
And where did this conversation sort of first take place? How did it kind of come up in conversation and really truly kind of come to fruition?
Well, so we're the 92nd Street Y in New York City. We're a community center. We're on the corner of 92nd and Lex. We're a very big community center, but nonetheless, the way we work is to engage communities all around our work, whether that's our senior center or Jewish life or early childhood or health. So far, so 20th century. But what we're trying to think about is how do we reimagine the work of a community center? How do you build community in a digital era? So we're doing a lot of programming with that goal in mind. And Giving Tuesday grew from that effort, which was to say, if you think about what we value, which is building community and making people feel more connected to each other and more connected to the world, how do you do that in an age of hashtags? And Giving Tuesday was an effort in that direction and has now scaled to 100 countries in the world. The updated numbers, I think we've really lost count of how many partners there are, but I think it's probably near 100,000. It's in 100 countries around the world, and it's led to some really surprising developments. So in the UK last year, 4.5 million people took part. Over 1 million people volunteered last year in Canada. And Giving Tuesday is growing in places like Tanzania and Kenya and Brazil and India. So this very American idea, which grew out of a kind of quintessentially New York institution, is now moving all around the world. And I think there are some interesting lessons in that.
That's really an extraordinary thing that you have 5.5 million people in Great Britain, a country of 60 million people that are participating.
Right.
I mean, that's really extraordinary. Are you surprised at how quickly this has kind of taken on a global scale?
Yes. There's no question. I don't think I was surprised in America.
Right.
I thought this. Look, here's the thing. I've probably had 25 ideas like Giving Tuesday, and I started all of them thinking they were going to go huge, and one of them did. So part of the job of having an idea like this is to believe in it, even in the 24 cases where it doesn't work out.
Right.
But with Giving Tuesday, it just, from the first time we said to somebody, hey, there's Black Friday and Cyber Monday, what about Giving Tuesday? people just got it, right? This was one of those ideas that just kind of clicked from the beginning. So I always thought it would do well here for two other reasons as well. One is America is a uniquely generous country. I know my accent betrays me, but my mother is a citizen. I'm a citizen. She goes back generations. And this is a very generous country, right? My earliest memories of coming to America as a kid were of how generous people were around the holidays. So there's that great kind of American tradition, which I thought we could kind of plug into. And then secondly, I think social media was allowing people to engage in new ways. So what's interesting, I think, about Giving Tuesday is from the start, we always had a hashtag in front of Giving Tuesday for a reason, for two reasons, really. One, it was a dog whistle to social media folks that this was their campaign. This was something which was designed for them. And secondly, and I wouldn't overstress this, but I think there's a truth to it. A hashtag is a sign of community. A hashtag creates a connection between disparate people, which allows them to plug into a shared cause. So what was interesting about Giving Tuesday is the connectivity of it meant that this wasn't lots of people giving on their own. So this isn't a story of lots of people, you know, the last week of December sitting down and writing some checks and sending them off to nonprofits. This is a story about people connecting with other people they care about and making those kinds of connections. And I think that also speaks to a new generation of giving where people are going to want to connect both with the causes they care about, but they're also going to expect to connect with their own peer groups.
Now, as a nonprofit ourselves, we are familiar with the hashtag Giving Tuesday and the desire for checks to come in. But I wonder how else people are interpreting this. So if it's not just sort of a development campaign, what are the other ways that people connect with this sense of Giving Tuesday and connect with each other as partners?
The list is extraordinary now. So the Giving Tuesday, I'll give you a story that I just heard about, of course, via Twitter, which was a high school in Kansas, the Peabody Burns High School in Kansas. They've decided every Tuesday in November, they're taking the afternoon off and they're going to do good things in their community. So one week they're going to do a project around neighborliness. Another week they're going to do a project around connecting with their community. Another week they're going to serve in a soup kitchen. And then that all builds up to Giving Tuesday itself, which is an effort, of course, to start a new tradition around philanthropy. There are teachers all over the country who on Giving Tuesday give lessons on philanthropy and why it matters. There are blood drives, there are coat drives, there are hat drives. There are families who take the opportunity on Giving Tuesday to sit down at their dinner table and talk about their own values and how they connect to one another. And then there are interesting campaigns this year, maybe of particular interest to your audience. The campaign I Give Catholic brings together 17 different dioceses to work together on thinking about how you give from a Catholic perspective. And so what Giving Tuesday has, the reason I think Giving Tuesday has got to scale is it's something that is relevant for, a 23-year-old Catholic donor who was making their first online gift, just as it is relevant to a 13-year-old in Peabody Burns High School who is learning about how to be a good neighbor. It brings those worlds together.
It seems to me, too, that it's aligned well with the kind of psychological or emotional experience of interacting with people through social media, in the sense that, you know, for good or ill, you know, your engagement on social media, sending out a tweet or posting something on Facebook, has a kind of almost visceral satisfaction that goes with it. You know, I've done something, I've shared something, and here's an opportunity to kind of marry that feeling that you have when you engage, with a thought or an insight or an argument or a picture or a photo, and to kind of marry that feeling to the feeling that comes, the good feeling that comes from having, you know, contributed positively to other people.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah. I think that's a lesson well beyond Giving Tuesday is those kinds of dynamics. If you just think about a generation of people who have grown up and all of the feedback loops in their lives are terrific. So if I was to post now on Facebook saying, hey, having a great conversation with my good friends on Sirius Radio, as soon as I did that, I'd have, 15 people like my comment. People would say, hey, that's so cool. People would say, hey, I love that radio station. You get this immediate and instant feedback. Now compare that to me responding to an annual mailing from a nonprofit, which says, dear Mr. Timms, thank you for your donation last year. I hope you'll join us again in supporting our critical work. Please send the check in this envelope. which gives me essentially no kind of feedback. Maybe 3 weeks later I'll get a receipt, maybe I won't. And I think part of the key to unlocking how giving is changing is to recognize that we have to model it on the kinds of user experiences that people are getting in other parts of their lives. Because if those on the side of the angels have the worst user experiences, we're really not going to win those battles.
Oh, that's a really interesting way to look at it, because I think it's often easy, especially in the nonprofit world, to want to look at it not sort of from a user experience standpoint, but from a, you know, we're doing great work, therefore you must want to help us, right? But you have to, as an organization, make it easy and make it possible for others to even know that they want to help you, to know that you're out there, to know that there's a campaign going, and to meet people where they are.
I think that's very well said. I do a lot of running, and I have a Nike running app. And so if I put that on when I'm running home, it will congratulate me for starting running. It will tell me how fast I'm going. It will let me play nice music. It will allow me to even have my friends on Facebook cheer me as I'm going along. And then when I finish my run, it will an Olympic gold medalist will say in my ear, "Congratulations, that was your best run yet." Just compare that experience.
Right.
To the nonprofit who says, "I do this incredible work and you ought to support it." It's all about them, it's not about me. And the lesson I think in all this is that we need to start building, we need to start thinking about our constituents in the nonprofit sector less as donors and more as owners. So less as the people whose job it is to give us money and more as people who own our cause and take it somewhere new. And I think that's a real opportunity, but also a real challenge.
Is that in conflict with the sense of community that we want to build around, often around nonprofits, or is that complementary to it?
Oh, I think it actually extends it. I think one of the weaknesses of groups of donors is they feel they don't have agency. They feel they have, you know, very low stakes engagement. They're part of a group of people whose sole function is really to give you money. But if you just look at the data, just as one example, the most powerful fundraising force in the whole world is people sharing money with their peers. Is people going and reaching out to their friends and asking them for money. And that is essentially what social networks allow better than anything, is that peer-to-peer fundraising. So I think part of the job of any nonprofit now is to get good at the idea of how they foster groups of owners around their cause. And Giving Tuesday has scaled because it thinks of its community, the Giving Tuesday community, it thinks of that community as owners of the movement. People take this idea and grab it and take it somewhere new. When I Give Catholic emerged, it wasn't because we had a long set of conversations with people. It's because a group of, you know, very forward-looking people came together and decided to try and connect rather than compete, and actually create a community of different dioceses. I don't suspect that happens a lot. So one of the interesting things we learn from Giving Tuesday is it does offer more opportunities to the more collaborative.
We're talking with Henry Timms, who's the executive director of the 92nd Street Y. And in that capacity, he created hashtag Giving Tuesday, which you've probably seen out on Twitter and Facebook. And if you are wondering sort of where that came from, this is your man. And he's been talking a bit about how America earlier is a uniquely generous country, and giving us a few stories of the ways in which that has played out.
Yeah, I've often heard that said and read some of the statistics that, you know, America is this kind of uniquely generous country, philanthropically speaking. And I was wondering why you think that might be. Is there something in the culture that lends itself more to philanthropy than not?
Well, I think, look, when Alexis de Tocqueville came to America, it was his observation that this was a nation of joiners. People wanted to come together. I think that's a great spirit. I think too the tax code has helped.
Yeah. From a practical standpoint,
I suppose the tweet is a little bit of Tocqueville and a little bit of tax.
Yeah, Tocqueville and the tax code.
I think that helped too. Right. So I think that helps. So I think there's an incentive. There's both a kind of historical incentive and there's a financial incentive. I'll add something else too, which is there's an incentive around identity. One of the ways people leave a legacy or make their name or make their contribution in this country, more so than other countries around the world, is in what they do and how they give. I remember someone who was a very senior figure at a major bank telling his staff that their job when they pass is to make sure that of the four paragraphs that they have in the New York Times obituary of their life, no more than one is about their work. And I thought that was a really interesting way of thinking about a life, which is, for all the hours one spends in the office, the way you measure true success in this country is philanthropically. And so I think there's an element of that too, which is plugged in. And then the last thing I'd say is I think there's a new tradition emerging now around giving. What's so interesting, I think, about how the world is changing now is that we are creating new rituals. A good theme for this show, right, which is to think about how important it is that we as human beings have rituals, have those things that we do again and again and again. And Giving Tuesday, I think, is in that context. It's a new ritual. Just as we ritualize shopping on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, we ritualize giving on Giving Tuesday, and it really has led to be a very good start to the giving season. So one interesting data point I saw recently was that organizations who are participating in Giving Tuesday are raising five times more money in December because they're getting good lift off. So they're kicking right. off the campaign with Giving Tuesday, and then they've got a whole month to engage with their communities. So I think there's a lot of kind of new ritual around things like Giving Tuesday too, which I think is very healthy. Like the easiest thing in the world right now is to kind of bemoan the state of institutions and no one does this anymore and no one attends that anymore and why won't people turn right. out on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock like they used to. Like there's a whole kind of doom narrative around how people don't engage with institutions in the way that they used to. But there are opportunities to think about institutions in new ways, and I think Giving Tuesday is an example of that.
And there's a doom narrative around social media itself. I mean, to a certain extent, it's true. It does have, it can, you know, pull us apart as much as it brings us together. But I'm very encouraged by this notion that a platform that has such a vast diversity of voices can actually be a common meeting place, and that can be ritualized and I think that, you know, because our attention is so diffused and you know the world we're living in is happening on 1,000 different channels all simultaneously, that people are looking for those kinds of moments of commonality, those moments of ritual where you come together and recognize that we are a part of the same enterprise, the same human enterprise. That's in fact what a ritual does, right?
I think that's very well said. And I think there's reasons to be there are reasons to be a bit negative on social media around loneliness and anxiety and around division, right? There are lots of negative outcomes here. But I do think your point is very well made, that in a world where both our politics and our platforms look to divide us increasingly, it's more important that we seek out those things which unite us. And what's interesting about Giving Tuesday is no matter every, 100 countries in the world now, every economic status, every political viewpoint, every religious background, people have found ways of taking Giving Tuesday and recognizing that giving is a unifier, that no matter where you go in the world, you will find people capable and wanting to connect with others. And what's been interesting about Giving Tuesday is you've seen the Sikh community take Giving Tuesday and use it to re-energize the way that some younger members of their community engage with their giving traditions. It began here at the 92nd Street Y as a Jewish institution, and now we're talking on the Catholic channel. And what's interesting about that is that you've got it reminds us when the temptation of factionalism is so high, it reminds us that we have to actively reaffirm those things which unite us, because we passively accept those things that divide us every day.
Here at America Magazine and everything we're doing, we're always paying attention to the different demographics of the audiences, so the different age ranges and different experience of the audience. Do you find with Giving Tuesday like any differences in by age or the best way to reach people to get them involved in Giving Tuesday in different demographics, or is it kind of one size fits all, or is it kind of segmented?
I think what's been fascinating about Giving Tuesday is how diverse it's been. You know, it is every age group, it is every form of giving. So, you know, obviously it has a kind of digital edge to it, but actually more money is given offline on Giving Tuesday than online. The easiest to measure is the stuff which is online, and you know, last year that was $188 million in the U.S. in small gifts. But offline, there's many more dollars than that raised. But I think the one interesting thing I would point to is the data we've seen around women and giving. And actually, the majority of giving around Giving Tuesday comes from women. And the majority of campaigns are run by women. So it's actually very interesting. You think about the kind of model Giving Tuesday uses. You know, this isn't a model which is like a superstar model where like one person is in charge of it and everyone else works for them. This is a distributed model where people all around the world are grabbing this idea and making it their own. We've seen time and again women step up to take those leadership roles, and I think that tells us something interesting about a kind of leadership style that works in the new era.
That makes a lot of sense. Have you faced any major challenges or kind of blowback to the campaign? People that see it as, you know, just hashtagivism, activism with a hashtag.
Slacktivism.
Yeah, but you know, it seems to be much more from what you're describing, but I'm not sure everyone's always aware of that either.
I think there's a generational shift in how we think about change. So there's a very easy critique, which is to say, you know, one generation of activists would, and quite rightly, focus on the most committed forms of activism, right? So it was the lifetime card-carrying member of the institution who was admired. It was the hunger striker. It was the person who was really prepared to commit in the long term. And then suddenly a generation of people who came along who were kind of tweeting their consciences and assuming it was change, and that really irritated a lot of people, and for quite good reason. But we get stuck at the extremes of this argument, and what's actually happening now is there are a lot of people who are making very substantial contributions via social media. And they're also encouraging people to make a lot of very straightforward contributions, which aren't super substantial, but they add up. You know, if you can get 10,000 people doing something light lift, that can really add up to something significant. And so I think that's one of the shifts that we're seeing in the space now, is that there are, of course, there are projects, there are kind of slacktivist-type projects. But I think that critique has got a bit old when you just look at the power of these kinds of movements. And if you want a recent example of that, look at the Me Too movement.
Right.
An extraordinary demonstration of the power of community and collaboration and strength in numbers to lead to direct outcomes in the world, and people who had been silenced for years as part of a community were able to come forward and start to right many wrongs. And I think you know, that's a very powerful example of the kinds of movements we're beginning to see in the world. And I think the great challenge more broadly is whether those kinds of movements lead to positive outcomes or negative outcomes. That they aren't normative. They aren't necessarily going to go in the right direction. So the question for the listeners of this program is, in this world where mobilization is going to be the currency, who is going to mobilize who, and where are they going to go?
Right. It often leads the conversation in a specific way, and then it's up to others, I think, to figure out whether that goes in sort of a positive or negative kind of direction with that conversation.
Yeah, well, very well said.
And, you know, we've seen also some pretty tremendous success. So it began in 2012, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, and
it was six years old this year.
Right.
So we get to go to big school this year,
which is which is also amazing, because it's 6 years old, and I think the total given last year was five or six times greater than it was in the first year. And is there a limit to the scale, or do you think that, you know, this thing presenting from some, you know, catastrophic global economic event could continue to grow at this rate?
Well, I think it will grow. I mean, it's going to grow in all sorts of obvious ways and in some unobvious ways. So there'll definitely be a year where the money will plateau. And that, you know, any student of growth understands that's likely to happen at some point, right? So there'll be a year in which the money plateaus or drops. But I don't think the spirit of the movement is going to stop growing anytime soon. And I tell you why, because for a lot of countries in the world, the Giving Tuesday is just beginning. So I'll give you one example. In Slovakia, Giving Tuesday is about to launch. One of a dozen countries where they're launching Giving Tuesday campaigns this year, for all sorts of interesting reasons to do with how you grow civil society and how you foster philanthropy. And And all of these leaders are working together around the world. They're all connected via the same WhatsApp group. So dozens of leaders in different countries, none of whom have ever really met in some cases, all work together to launch these different movements from different countries around the world. So you'll start to see Giving Tuesday growing a lot in places like Brazil. It's growing a lot in Russia. It's growing a lot still in Canada. So I think you'll see a lot of global growth. I think the US will plateau at some point, maybe this year, maybe not. But the point of Giving Tuesday just isn't the dollars.
Right.
The dollars are important. Obviously, look, I run a nonprofit in New York City. I understand the dollars. Having said that, I think the greater contribution is the ritual.
Right.
I think the greater contribution is in, if you get to a place, and I think we're going to get there, where this becomes the first global day of giving.
Yeah, exactly.
Which connects the richest man in the world to some of the poorest, and they are all giving on that day. They are all working out how they can help others on that day. We've seen a lot of very powerful projects with working with the UN, where people in some of the most challenging conditions in the world on that day are being philanthropists themselves, people who are typically the recipients of aid are stepping out to give to others. If you can link those communities on one day, I think that's a powerful statement. And whatever the numbers add up to be, the biggest contribution of Giving Tuesday will be that moment of kind of global connectivity.
Indeed it will. Henry Timms is executive director of the 92nd Street Y and founder of Giving Tuesday. Thanks so much for being with us, Henry.
Thank you.
You can check it out, hashtag Giving Tuesday, givingtuesday.org, a global giving movement, November 28th, 2017. To learn more about all that you have heard about today, you can check us out at americamagazine.org, where you can also check in on our work on Giving Tuesday and our annual appeal, which continues through to the end of the year. Please have a blessed Thanksgiving. And to find all of the content we mentioned today, you can join us on our website at americamagazine.org and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And to subscribe to America, call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Carrie Weber and Eric Sundrup, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.